Case study number two is a little different. I'd like you to meet two important members of our broadcast team here at the radio station. Mike is 37, married, and is a public radio producer and editor. Jimmy is 42, married, has two kids, age 8 and 10, and is a freelance broadcaster. Both of these guys have been very important in a number of projects here around the station, but until they came here just a few years ago, they had virtually no exposure, worth mentioning, to classical music. As in the previous segment, let's begin by finding out what each of their musical tastes were before they came to WRCJ. First, here's Mike.
Mostly rock and roll. Yeah, I like the early 70s, late 60s era.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face. Stars to fill my dream.
Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Beatles, big influence on me.
Okay, Jimmy, same question.
Yeah, same question, similar answer, you know. Pop, rock, you know, in addition to, like, the bands I grew up with and the stuff that I like now, you know, I also dabbled in some of the old, like, some jazz, Ella Fitzgerald, Sinatra, The Velvet Fog.
It was
Mel Torme, you know, some of the old, you know, 40s type stuff.
Did you go to concerts? Did you guys go to concerts much?
All the time.
All the time. What kind?
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
For example, Tom Petty, The Heartbreakers, Dave Matthews, Ben Harper.
You have a good concert history. Jeez.
Yeah, I saw the last concert I saw was John Fogerty, a solo, and he did mostly CCR remakes.
That would be Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Thank you.
Now, with a family, it's a little more difficult.
Yes, I've not been seeing a lot of concerts lately, and if you do, there's sitters involved and all that. But like back in the day, I had the worst concert history ever because mostly I didn't do a lot of concerts once I got married for whatever reason. So I have bad dating concert history. I remember dating a girl. She said, let's go see Neil Diamond. Yeah, so I saw Neil Diamond at Pine Knob in Michigan, and, you know, he did Forever in Blue Jeans 17 times in a row. I thought it was cute.
Okay, well, with that.
Never heard that before.
As a background, what was your, again, trying to put yourself in a frame of mind before you came to the station here and started working here on a regular basis, what was your impression of classical music? Did you have any preconceived notion of it?
I could tell you right off the bat, it all kind of sounded the same to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't tell one song from the other, or an artist from another, or a composer, a different composer. It all kind of blended together. But since I've been here, and I know the names of guys, I can start to, when I hear Chopin, I know that's a guy, you're going to hear some piano. If I hear Beethoven, I know I can tell by the way that it's written that it's definitely a Beethoven piece of music. So, but before then, I was always like, well, this sounds like the last song, or this sounds like the last piece of music.
Jimmy? Yeah, similar to Mike, I felt like it was something that if you were going to appreciate it, it was going to take homework.
Right.
It wasn't going to be something like where it's just going to be a hook repeated a few times with a bridge, and you're done. You're out. You know, which is really easy and really accessible, and there's no, you don't need to do any homework for Britney Spears. You know, the idea being, though, that I think I was intimidated by it because if you grow up immersed in pop, it's a song. Is it? Yeah, that was a good song. And that was a good band. And now, you know, here are these things where there's going to be a ton of just vocabulary. It's not just a song. It's a minuet. It's a, you know, there are all these different chunks and names. And it seemed like there were a lot of people checking out their legitimacy where, you know, if you don't know the vocabulary, you're not legit. You're not in the club. You know what I'm saying? A lot of secret handshakes going on. And I felt very much on the outside of that club.
And now, how did you get that impression, though? Did you go to classical concerts? Or was
no,
it just,
that,
where,
that,
where do you think that came from?
That's strictly, I think, how it filters through the popular culture, is that here's this thing, amid all these things that are easy and accessible and don't make you feel stupid, here's this thing that will really make you feel stupid. And that's intimidating.
Now, after you came to the station, shortly after you each came here, we started working on projects together, doing interviews with artists. And one of the things that we did was we all went to a concert together. Was that the first time you guys had seen a classical concert?
I'd have to say yes.
Yeah? So here we were in Orchestra Hall, a great concert hall, top orchestra on the stage. Do you remember that experience? What was your, any surprises there? Or what struck you about?
The joint, my gosh. It's like a cathedral. It's beautiful. I mean, that's the first thing that hit me. And then you hear the backstory that they were going to tear it down. You felt like you were in a piece of history, you know, just walking in the door. Forget about the first note being played. I'd never been in a place like that. I really kind of felt a sense of reverence, you know, a real sense of place.
That wouldn't necessarily help the intimidation thing.
Yeah, true. Yeah. See, I think the biggest thing was starting to talk to people about it, and they all said the same thing, which is just listen to the music, you know? And that's what allowed me to set aside, is that there were people who I considered to be really legit, who had done this for a living, who had been doing this for years, and to them, none of that stuff that I thought mattered, that made me feel on the outside, none of it mattered. To a person, everybody was like, ah, forget about that stuff, just listen to the music. And then the music was speaking on its own, and it was good.
Well, one advantage each of you have had that the average classical listener, even a veteran classical listener, doesn't necessarily get is you've had the opportunity to speak directly with some of the best musicians in the business, people like Sir Neville Mariner, people like Hilary Hahn, composer John Corigliano, just to drop a few names. But how did that experience, you started talking about that, Jimmy, but how did that experience color your impressions about this music, Mike?
Well, like Jimmy said, you know, you're kind of intimidated by the people in the orchestra because you think that they think they're on a higher level. But then when you start to meet these people, they're normal people just like everybody else. It's really weird. It's kind of like you think you're going to meet them, they're going to want to have tea at noon and crumpets, you know what I mean?
I don't even know what a crumpet is, but yeah.
And, you know, like, for example, the first time we did an interview, or I came in and did an interview, you said, we're getting ready to meet the Michael Jordan of classical music.
Yeah, right.
And it was Sir Neville Mariner.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And it come to find out, this guy is, like, down to earth, really nice, personal. And it kind of changed my mind, the first interview. And then when we started getting more people to come in and do these interviews, I couldn't believe it. And the music that they would bring in to listen to, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, they do really like all kinds of music. They're not just stuck in this genre of classical music.
And in fact, I feel like I've met more prima donnas in pop music.
Yes.
Than I have in classical. In classical, I've actually found people who are really cool, sometimes quirky, sometimes a little bit nuts.
Right.
but really cool, really approachable, and really just genuinely excited about sharing their music.
Exactly.
And you know, I've met some people who were, you know, pop stars who were knew they were within their nanosecond of fame, but man, they were going to milk it for everything and they were worth, and they were going to be jerks to people around them, and they were going to, where's my tepid Evian bath? Where's my trailer? You know,
I
that
only
thing.
Want red M&Ms.
Yes, all that, you know, you didn't read my rider, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, yeah, talking to Sir Neville Mariner that first time, I was intimidated. It's the first time I ever met the knight in right. real life, and he was so cool. And you get none of that. I felt none of the whole... Yeah, you know, pull the brown M&Ms out of the bowl thing. I've felt none of that. There's some personalities.
Right.
But they've all been pretty cool. And I think what I've realized is that you don't have to like all the classical music either.
Right.
You know, I remember in pop music feeling kind of the same way where I'm just like, God, I'm just burnt out on this. And it's so much of it is just so derivative and so bad. Just awful. And then I remember I was in my car. I really remember the moment when I first heard Nirvana. And it seemed to, you know, and at the time, Milli Vanilli was holding the number one spot on the charts. And I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I like stopped the car and I'm like, this is authentic.
Right.
This is real. And it was a jaw dropping moment. I remember the first time hearing Bringing It Home to Detroit, hearing the White Stripes. And I was like, how do two people make this much noise? This is incredible.
Yep.
But I also remember the first time Chris introduced me to Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, and it was the same kind of jaw-dropping moment. That blew me away.
so funny you just bring up Stravinsky, because that's who I was thinking of as when...
Oh, man. That was a jaw-dropping moment the first time I heard that.
There is some crazy and weird stuff going on in his music.
Yeah.
So each of you are under the median age of concert goers, the typical symphony concert goer. What would you recommend to orchestras they could do to attract more younger people, more people like yourselves, to give it a try, to come out and hear a concert?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think one of the best ways to do it is to strip away, and that's why I love listening to your show, actually, is that you strip away the pretense. Because the biggest obstacle to me was that, again, that sense of the in crowd and the out crowd. And, you know, this is a club and new members aren't welcome. You know, all the protocols, all the sense of there are hoops to jump through. And the funny thing is, I don't know who in my mind, I can't even imagine or picture who these supposed gatekeepers are. I think people need to acknowledge that are in the club, need to understand how intimidating they are to people outside the club. It sounds like a lot of protocol. So if there's a way to strip some of that away and get people to say, no, just come to the experience, just come to enjoy the music. You know, if the music can speak directly to their ears and their soul, then it has a chance.
This just popped in my head. How about what I noticed with rock and roll and pop music, a way to get kids to notice new old music. Maybe they need to develop some kind of video game like Rock Band.
Instead of like a that's brilliant.
Instead of like a guitar, you're trying to learn how to play a cello. you know what I mean?
Oh, that's brilliant for me.
Or Conductor Hero.
There you go.
Yeah.
Conductor Hero. There you go.
Oh, man, yeah, you just hold a little Wii thing in your hand and then you conduct.
Well, and depending on what section you point at, they get louder or softer.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea. Okay, wait, stop rolling tape. We got
okay,
to take this to our designer.
We got
to go the software designer.
Okay.
This is amazing.
Thanks, guys.